Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of our Lord that we consider this morning to help bolster our faith, to give us hope for ourselves, our children, and our grandchildren, dear fellow redeemed. That text is found in Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 7 to 9. For thus says the Lord, sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, O Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country, and gather them from the ends of the earth. Among them the blind and the lame, the woman with child, and the one who labors with child together. And a great throng shall return there. They shall come with weeping, and with supplications I will lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way in which they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. So far, text. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus Christ, who is our life, our hope, and our salvation, dear fellow redeemed. With the steady and rapid decline of the moral and religious fiber of human society, what are the prospects of very many unbelievers being brought into the kingdom of God? To be delivered from the captivity of sin, and death, and the devil. Closer to home. What is the likelihood of us and our children and our grandchildren remaining in God's family to the very end, until that final day of this world? Lest such weighty questions cause us to be unduly fearful, worried, or even feel hopeless, we need to be mindful of God's powerful word of life, hope, and salvation. That's the powerful word that was the power of God into salvation. It first brought us to faith in Jesus as our Savior. And that same powerful word will continue to work in us and our children and our grandchildren as long as we keep on listening to the Lord that comes from the pages of Holy Scripture. He'll keep us in His saving grace until we're ushered into life everlasting in heaven. The Lord reveals such a message of deliverance and hope in our scripture text today. This wonderful message was initially delivered to a remnant of Old Testament believers in Jeremiah's day, who were being held captive in the ancient empire of Babylon. And yet not only this, we also find this message that's found in God's Word having a special significance for believers in the New Testament age until the very end of time. The southern kingdom of Judah, like the northern kingdom of Israel, was conquered and taken into captivity because of the widespread wickedness, impenitence, and unbelief. But unlike the northern kingdom that was taken away in captivity, it was scattered and never to be seen again, the southern kingdom of Judah was preserved. It was not because of anything that they were worthy or deserving of, but it was because of God's grace. The Lord did this out of mercy for the sake of the few remaining believers in the Old Testament, and also so that he could preserve a people from which the Savior would come. As this remnant of believers lived in the wicked and godless Babylonian Empire, their hearts were sorely distressed because of the perverse life of these people and by their separation from their homeland. Do not our hearts ache when we witness all the ungodliness taking place today and yearn for the time that we'll be delivered from this wretched world? I do. And I would guess there are many other believers who do as well. While still living in this godless world, it's no small trial of faith for us to be surrounded by so many unbelievers who turn to false gods, who live in open defiance of God's commandments and vigorously oppose believers. If we were to have an open forum of Christians that are down in the trenches facing the anti-Christian elements in this world, many could tell of the countless assaults on their souls, whether it be the tempting allurements of the world, being subjected to godless speech, immoral topics, and religious drivel, or the ever-increasing hostility toward those who dare to speak out against ungodly lifestyles. In order to comfort and reassure the few remaining children of God in Babylon, Jeremiah gave them words of deliverance and hope. As it made known to them, pray to God. Pray to Him to give you deliverance from this godless empire. And this word was followed by the divine promise of the Lord gathering the remnants of Israel and bringing them back to their homeland, the promised land. There He would once again build them up as a people, establishing them as His, devoted to Him and His ways. And there He would bless them with His loving kindnesses and His tender mercies. Jeremiah's message of deliverance and the returning of the remnant of Israel to Zion involved more than the Jews being returned of the Old Testament times. It also pointed to the latter days of the New Testament age, a gathering of the remnant of believers into Zion. He's not talking about a hill, not just talking about a city. He's talking about the church of believers. That is the Zion he's speaking of. Jeremiah prophesied that the Lord would be gathering a remnant of people from the ends of the earth to Zion, and that their number would constitute a great throng. We know Jeremiah's message is not simply referring to the Jews returning to Palestine, because their number was not a great throng. Of all the Jews who actually returned there to their homeland, there was a relatively small number. The book of Ezra gives the number of 42,360 Jews returning to Palestine. In Paul's letter to the Romans, the apostle identifies the remnant of Israel in the New Testament times who would be delivered to Zion as being not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. He also quotes the prophet Hosea, who writes of the Lord foretelling Gentiles being numbered among the believing remnant of Israel. You ever thought of yourself, the people of Israel? You hear that very often. You think, well, this is the Jews. No, Scripture says it is also including Gentile believers. Paul writes in Romans, I will call them my people, who are not my people, and her beloved, who is not beloved. And it shall come to pass in the place where it is said to them, you are not my people, there you will be called sons of the living God. And yes, everyone who would be gathered into this Zion, a great throng of the people, includes every believer throughout the New Testament age until the very end of time. So this gathering of a great throng into the church does not mean that at any one time there'll be more believers than unbelievers in this world, like the millennialists would have us mistakenly believe. And why is this? Is because it's only a remnant, a small number of believers among so many unbelievers. Jeremiah's reference to the great throng of believers includes all believers throughout the New Testament time. Among this remnant, the prophet testifies there will be the blind and the lame, the woman with child, and the one who labors with child. Such physical impediments would ordinarily make it very difficult to make a long and arduous journey to the land of Palestine. But they were consoled and reassured God would help them with his mighty hand. He would enable them to return to the homeland. In the spiritual realm, there are different obstacles and hindrances standing in the way of individuals becoming a part of the kingdom of God, as well as causing them to depart from God's kingdom of grace. There's human reason, which cannot fully fathom God or fully comprehend all the revelations. There are human prejudices, which cling to mankind's man-made beliefs and philosophies that run counter to God's word. There's a false science of evolution that denies the existence of God and his creation of the world. There are other obstacles and hindrances, like the love of worldly pleasures, material riches, and temporal pursuits that push God out of our heart and out of our lives. There's also human pride that would prevent us from repenting of our sins. All these are spiritual roadblocks in our minds and hearts, which can prevent God from entering our hearts and reigning there with his mercy, love, and forgiveness. In the gospel record, we hear of a rich man who came to Jesus, wondering how could he be saved. He didn't come to see Jesus because he believed that Jesus was his savior. His God was his money. That was more important to him than anything else. And he came that out when he was talking to Jesus about that. Jesus then told the disciples how hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God, saying, "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Jesus' disciples were amazed by this, and they were wondering, well, if this is so, who can be saved? Jesus removed this thought of hopelessness by saying, "With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible." Now, while it's impossible for us to come to the Lord on our own, or to remain in the faith on the basis of our own power and strength, God makes it possible. He gives us faith. He keeps us in the faith. Martin Luther confessed this in his explanation of the third article. "I believe that I cannot, by my own reasoning or effort, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord, nor come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in true faith. In the same way he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith." Through the Word of God, through our use of the Word of God, God removes the obstacles in our minds and hearts, opening our eyes to see and our hearts to believe in the Almighty God who made us and all the world. Removing biased ways of thinking so that we acknowledge that the Bible is the absolute truth from beginning to end. Crushing our prideful spirit and humbling us so that we come before the Lord with a lowly spirit. We confess our sins. We repent of our sins. And we put our trust in Jesus, all atoning sin offering on the cross. As we travel through this wilderness of sin and godliness, what is the likelihood the small remnant of believers making it to the promised land of heaven? The Lord declares in the book of Jeremiah, I will lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way in which they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. What a great comfort it is to know that through faith in Jesus, God is our Father. And we know that since He is our Father, He will love us and He will take care of us. Not only our body, but also our souls. He'll enable us to walk in the straight and narrow path that leads to life everlasting in heaven. It is through that same word that draws us into God's family that will keep us in God's family. But it's very important that we use that word for our personal life, our church life, because that's the way the Holy Spirit works. It's through His powerful word that not only brings us to faith, but keeps us in the faith. I want to have you listen to what Jesus said about Him being our good shepherd and the loving shepherding care He provides us. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Can you think of a more comforting word than that? If you're one of Jesus' sheep, He's going to watch over you and keep you in His flock to the very end. With the rivers of water, which is the gospel of Christ, the Lord gives us to drink of the water of life. That sweet and cool water comforts, refreshes, and sustains us as it reminds us again and again and again of God's grace, His mercy, His pardon, and His gift of salvation through Jesus. It is because of God's message of deliverance and hope that the remnant of believers in the world can sing with gladness for Jacob and shout among the chief of the nations to proclaim and give praise to God. The remnant of believers who were held captive in the godless land of Babylon rejoiced with joy when they heard God was going to come and He was going to deliver them and bring them back to the mighty, wonderful land of Canaan. He'd do it by His almighty hand. So with this word in their heart, they sang hymns of praise and thanksgiving to God and proclaimed to others this wonderful news so that they too could have that message of hope. So also us, who are remnant of believers who live in a very wicked and perverse time, have reason to rejoice and give thanks to the Lord because He has given us a message of deliverance and hope. Through His powerful word, the Lord guards and keeps us in the faith so that we finally reach the promised land of heaven. And also through that same word, He'll gather others into His kingdom, into His family. Sing songs of praise to the Lord for this wonderful grace and mercy he shows us. Make widely known those blessings of deliverance and hope so that others will join us in singing hymns of praise to God, both here in this world and in the heavenly world to come with all the angels and all the saints of heaven. Amen. Please rise. In the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.